everyone, and welcome to the March 8th Code Enforcement Board meeting. Meeting will now come to order. May we have a roll call, Madam Secretary?
Ms. Cundiff?
Here.
Ms. Hines?
Here.
Ms. House?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Ms. Purdy?
Here.
And Mr. Witherell?
Here.
Everybody's here. Good. All right. Has everybody had a chance to read the minutes on the board? Okay. Any additions or corrections? Motion to approve minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Motion from Mr. Harrington. Second from Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Is there any disclosure? Does anybody need to disclose any ex parte communication?
Anybody have any questions about ex parte communication?
Okay. Madam Secretary, do we have announcements?
We do.
Okay.
The following cases are in compliance. Case number 02-18-22, which is number one on your agenda.
Mm-hmm.
It's MHC Carriage Co. at 4 Golf Cove Court in compliance 212-18.
Okay.
The second one is number nine. It's Imperial Land Trust CEB 01-18-09. In compliance on 221-18, and that's 1006 Imperial Drive. Number 10, case number 11-15-58, 800 North Atlantic Avenue is in compliance on 3118. In new cases, number 14, this is not on your agenda.
Okay.
Is in compliance. It's CEB 03-18-26. It's 2730 South Atlantic Avenue and in compliance on March the 6th, 2018. And the last one is number 18,
mm-hmm.
which is CEB 03-1830 at 156 South Coates Street in compliance
227-2018. Okay. All right. All right. Would code officers please come forward and be sworn in?
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
All right, everyone. Here's our procedure. We'll be calling cases by number and for the most part in order as they are listed on the agenda. If there are police officers who need to testify but need also to get back to assignments, we'll hear those first. If there are attorneys that need to go to court, we'll hear those cases first, too. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record. If you're not the owner of the property, please state your relationship to the owner. Our proceedings are recorded, so please speak into the mic. The board hears from code officers first, and then you will be given the opportunity to respond. Please direct all your responses to the board. Witnesses may also testify following the same procedure. And if we go past, we'll take a break at 11, but I'm hoping we'll be finished by then. We never know. Sometimes cases just take a little longer than we think. But if we go past 11, we'll take a break at 11. And then those that are left that are here will hear your cases first. All right. Let's see. Are there attorneys here? What case is that, sir?
Number three.
It's lien review number three? All right, so why don't we just do lien review number three first?
How you doing?
All right, this is lien review three, CEB 0417-26536, Fairmount Road.
And good morning. My name is James Rose, an attorney representing Dr. Peter Wakeman, who stands to my left. Dr. Wakeman is a co-owner of the Fairmount House that is under the has a lien against it right now.
So Mr. Wakeman needs to be sworn in. Dr. Wakeman needs to be sworn in, please.
Yes,
could you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right, let us hear a little bit of background from our attorney, and then we'll give you a chance to talk about why you'd like this why you asked for this lien review.
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, Anthony Jackson, attorney for the city of Daytona Beach. I think Mr. Rose would have probably been a little bit more complete with the background. The basics of it, though, is that as Ms. Rose has presented to me and what I've heard received from the staff as well, is that this property was owned jointly by doctor here and another respondent. They had a notification of foreclosure. He thought that the property was foreclosed, but it was during this period when there were numerous foreclosures on properties, and apparently the bank abandoned the foreclosure and didn't ever go forward with it. So I didn't realize he still owned the property until he started trying to do some other transaction or work, and then he found out, oh, this is still in my name. And so that's what he's coming forward to see if we can remedy it. The issues regarding the fine and lien are long-term resolve. We saw a compliance date of 1/30/2018. However, as we went to review it, we determined it to be in compliance. I'm not sure of the terms of what makes it in compliance, but that's we found it in compliance. And so the position of the city is that the city is willing to waive the lien. I would look to my inspector on that as well. So if you can. I guess part of what I need is to hear more of this story from Mr. Rose. It was quite a while ago since we've talked about it, and so I would need to be refreshed as well. So if we could hear from Mr. Rose, and then I'd ask if we could hear from staff after we just kind of hear the whole story.
Okay, because I do have some
questions.
Okay.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Mr. Jackson was saying Dr. Wakeman and Mr. Singler were co-owners of several pieces of rental property in Daytona Beach. When the recession came, Mr. Singler was totally in charge of taking care of the properties, the taxes, and everything else. Fortunately, the recession came and then Mr. Singler passed away in 2013. Dr. Wakeman was advised by Mr. Singler's counsel that all the properties were being foreclosed on that they had. And in fact, the other properties that which they have co-owned were foreclosed upon. So what happened is that Dr. Wakeman thought he did not own the property anymore because he had received notice of these foreclosures. Unbeknownst to him, the Fairmount property was not involved with the foreclosure actions. So he went on thinking that he did not own any of the properties anymore, including the Fairmount, until he went to buy a condominium and then went through a review of his credit, where he was advised at that point that, in fact, he was still a co-owner of the property at the Fairmount address, unusual as it may be. But unfortunately, the tax bills and everything else were being forwarded to Mr. Singler, Mr. Singler's address, who has now passed away. And I can tell you, frankly, if you want to put me under oath as a fact witness, I was there when I told Ms. Dr. Wakeman that I'd done the title search, and in fact, he still is the property owner. And in fact, the lender had actually gone ahead and satisfied the loan. Now, it was not unusual at that point for lenders to, in fact, just abandon the properties and be done with it because they don't want to go through the foreclosure process. Unfortunately, Dr. Wakeman was never apprised of any of that for probably 4 years. So when he found out about it, he took action in which he did get the property into compliance. Now it's just basic compliance at this point. But in addition, again, he's still a co-owner. We're going through a probate process right now in which Mrs. Singler is going to be receiving, she's the widow, is going to be receiving the property, and she has agreed just to transfer it over to Dr. Wakeman to take care of the various liens and various other problems with the property. It's a very unusual situation. I've been a lawyer for 36 years. Most people know when they own property and when they don't, but it is a unique situation, and we believe that it does justify in this case that the lien be waived. Dr. Wakeman has taken immediate action once he's known to take care of the property, and he's going to get it fixed up. And he's going to get it sold to somebody. He's going to fix it up even more and get it back on the market and get somebody living in there. So that's the basis. Yes, he paid him once he found out. He paid the bank. There was a tax certificates had been issued and such. No tax deed, of course, but he had to pay, three tax certificates.
And the lien amount, Mr. Jackson, how much is that?
The lien amount maximized, Madam Chair, to the amount of $10,000 dollars plus the $24 filing fee. At the time of the imposition of the lien, it was on a presumption of unoccupied. I guess that was the last status at
the
time.
Did it what?
I said it would have been on a presumption of unoccupied because that was the last status that the staff knew at that time.
That was my question. Why was it $10,000 maximum?
Yeah, typically our conclusion is that that was the last status of the property at the time when we got involved with
it. So it was.
I mean, that may not have been accurate, but at least that was
time.
The perspective.
It was an income property at that time?
That was at least the perspective of staff. That's what we understood the property to be. Whether that's the circumstance, I don't know.
Yeah, okay, that's true.
Yeah.
That it's done. Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Any other, are there questions?
I think this is one of the issues that came up last month that's starting to come up an issue is, you know, the foreclosures and everything, or tax liens, you know, the municipal lien is never satisfied, you know, normally in the legal system. And they're a lingering fact. And I think this is one of the same issues.
I think we have some minimum costs on handling
the property that ought to be considered. And I just, not to interrupt too much, but I'm sure Dr. Wakeman would be agreeable. Any costs that the city actually incurred, certainly we would be responsible for. We're not asking for the waiver of the costs.
Okay.
We have a ballpark figure. What costs on this case would be, Tony?
Nothing that we sat down and calculated. We would think it would be somewhere in the area of about $1,000.
When did the other gentleman die?
2013.
And in the last 5 years since his death, the home was occupied?
It
was,
not
was
that we know.
Not occupied?
It was not certainly never owner-occupied. Okay. It was. We don't know if it was occupied or not, frankly.
Did you say there were other properties in this sort of limbo besides this one?
Well, there were other properties co-owned by Mr. Singler and Dr. Wakeman, but those were foreclosed upon. They had an informal partnership in which Mr. Singler did all the work and Dr. Wakeman provided the capital. So, again, he thought everything was gone and the slate was clean. But, again, this was lingering unbeknownst to him.
Dr. Wegman, would you like to say anything? Opportunity? That's okay. That's fine.
I don't know that
you
there's anything
you
left.
Don't have to.
I was stunned when I just went to purchase a new home. I sold my house that I'd been in for years, and they did it. They were going to deny me actually the loan because they said I already owned a home, and here I am.
Okay.
It's been a long journey.
Doctor, when you were given the list of homes that had been foreclosed on and that deal was settled, did you not notice that this one was withstanding?
The difference was that Mr. Singler and his wife had taken out a loan on the house, and I was not on the loan. I was only on the deed. So
he was on the mortgage.
The mortgage,
but not the note.
Not the note. So I signed the necessary papers for, we own three houses, for all three homes. And Chobe Ebbets was their attorney, and he handled most of this for it. They had many homes together that were foreclosed upon, so he said he was getting inundated, because I've talked to him since this happened, and he just said he assumed, since all the others followed through, that this one did too. Well, nobody ever checked, and there it sits, and basically the lender just forgave the note, and it sat there rotting away for the last 4 or 5 years.
But it is still, it was in your name.
It was. And the problem was all the notifications went to his old home where they don't live anymore either. So I never received anything. And I did sign off originally when it all happened for the banks to do the foreclosure. They needed my signature because I was on the mortgage, which I did. And then received notification, even went through all the necessary tax things that you go through over the next couple of years. and now to come back up and find out that I still owned it.
Okay.
I think that the fact that the doctor has paid the taxes in the past, it's caught up there, and that he's willing to pay up to $1,000 or so to pay the city for their work, I think it's something we should just handle in a positive manner.
I think, irregardless, it was still his responsibility to follow through on his property that his name was on. And I can understand the oversight, but that doesn't negate the fact that it still was your property and you are responsible for it. I would like to see a reduced fine, but not $1,000.
I would say there have been numerous expenses already incurred just trying to, because the house was not safe. I mean, even the cleaning up of the property, the boarding up, the title search, the legal fees, it's not been a...
This is the status of the house right now?
That is it. You should have seen it before.
Somebody been mowing the lawn?
I had workers go out, and we made sure that was secure. I was informed because I wasn't sure what to do. Mr. Sykes was really helpful in telling me the steps I needed to do to secure the home. To do that, there were 5 down trees in the property, so I'd have a tree company come out and remove all the trees. There were mattresses in the yard. Apparently, there's a history of. You asked if anybody lived in the house. Well, apparently, there may have been at different times people living in the house. I don't know, but. That's it right now.
Well, would somebody suggest an amount? We can vote on that.
I would be comfortable with half of the fine.
Do you want to make that motion?
I make a motion that we reduce the fine to half, and
so that would be to $5,000.
Yes.
Okay. Motion on the floor to reduce the lien to $5,000. Is there a second? Okay, that motion fails. The chair will entertain a motion to reduce the amount of the lien to $1,500, subject to being paid within 30 days or the fine will revert to the original amount. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, second. Mr. Harrington, second. Mr. Weatherholt, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to lien review number 1, CEB 0609-116. 949 Vernon Street. Respondent present? Okay.
Juan Santa Cruz, Viva Investment Homes, 303 Valley Drive, in Oakwood.
Raise your hand. Do you solemnly swear that or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
What is your name, sir?
Juan Santa Cruz.
Number 1, lien review number 1. 949 Vernon Street. And are you the owner?
I'm the co-owner, yes.
Co-owner, okay. Part of the investment
group, yes.
Tax sale?
Tax deed sale, correct.
Okay. So from what I understand, you got it to a tax sale. $9,000 the city's already received.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the other $5,700. Okay. And you are in compliance.
That is correct.
Okay.
That was a tax sale by the county.
Correct.
It had absolutely nothing to do with the lien.
Where do you get the lien?
Right.
Well, there's two.
Let's say we did.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Ash.
Yeah, if I can just remind you, this is one that we had come forward last week, and I know everyone wasn't here. I mean, last month, and I know everyone wasn't here, but the general circumstances that this property set as a derelict property, and ultimately there was went to a tax deed sale.
And as I had explained or reminded you in the past, a lot of people don't realize that, at least with a tax deed sale, that the municipal liens that belong to cities remain. And so when the sale occurs, if there are excess proceeds, if the amount that they ultimately pay for the property exceeds the amount of the taxes, then that's excess proceeds. And those excess proceeds are then able to satisfy outstanding liens. And the only real outstanding lien was the city's. So after the purchase of the property, there were excess proceeds of $9,264.24. And so the city made its application to receive that as part of its satisfaction of its outstanding lien. So the remaining portion of the city's lien is $5,759.76. The position of the staff was that the current applicant really had nothing, was not responsible in any way for the lien itself. And they have now taken this property. The city has received a substantial amount, which is probably a little more than we typically would have gotten through a standard lien review, of $9,000 of the $15,000 that was the lien amount. So the position of the city is that the staff have taken a position that we're willing to waive the remaining portion of this lien. Now, we recognize that there is some thought of cost, and again, as I spoke to staff would, again, without having any solid calculation, would because of the inspectors being inspectors of the past, would figure to be about $1,000 of city cost if there was any cost at all. But the position of the staff is that we are willing to waive the lien because of the substantial amount that we were able to receive in satisfying it, and because of this applicant didn't really have anything to do with the occurrence of the lien.
Mr. Jackson, can I now ask you some questions?
Yes, sir.
How much back taxes were there? What was the amount of back taxes?
I don't know. I mean, I could look and see, but...
But we're able to figure out all these fair things when we don't know what the original taxes were.
Well, the original taxes, I don't know what we... I'm just saying, not opposing anything that you're saying, but then they would not necessarily be any way relevant to the lien or the city's action.
That's
just a non-payment of the county, yeah.
I think the lien has nothing to do with the taxes. Now, you're saying it's law that if they collect excess tax money in the tax sale, but which we don't know the amount, then that goes against the lien? Is that what you're telling me?
We do know the amount.
We do.
Well, how much was the tax lien?
What I know is the amount that was in excess of whatever the tax lien was. That was the $9,000.
And that's a county lien.
Yes, that's a county lien.
Well, it covers city and county taxes when they do a tax sale. But don't
city
they pay
and
both?
County taxes. No, just county taxes?
No, this is property taxes, so it would be...
But isn't there city and county property taxes and hospital taxes? I look at my tax bill, I see eight different agencies
right.
that collect taxes, but we don't even know what the amount is that was due.
I'm sorry, I don't have that answer for you, Mr. Harrington.
I have a couple of questions, too. The violation that I saw in this packet was for a junk vehicle parking on the grass. Is that it?
Yes. That's the extent of the violation.
That's it, right?
Yes.
That's all we're considering. Or that's all that was...
That needed to be remedied.
That's all that needed to be remedied.
It can run up to $1,000.
And it wasn't this gentleman's car or a tenant, even his tenant's car or whatever. It had nothing to do with that.
That's correct, Madam Chair.
Also, what is all the board that's on there around... This is today's picture. What is all the board that's around there today?
I would have to look to the inspector. I believe the current status is that whatever future plans they have, again, not really relevant to the past, but it's
true.
The future
plans. All right.
But Tony, you're telling us that City of Daytona Beach received a check of
$9,662.24.
No matter what happened, we got the money.
That's correct.
For back taxes.
Yeah.
Not proven.
No.
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 No, for code.
No. It would have been different. They didn't pay the taxes.
Okay.
They bought this at a tax lien. That didn't settle the...
Well, somebody else paid the taxes, obviously. He bought the tax certificate. He paid the taxes.
We paid $20,000 for the property. At the taxi sale, we purchased it for $20,100.
Okay. That
so
money went to the county.
Half the money, the $9,000 so went towards it, and all the other money went towards paying the back taxes.
Okay.
And we got our money every month, the city.
Right.
From his money.
So you got all the taxes that were due plus $9,200-something that went towards the liens.
Okay.
So with the proceeds of the sale, everybody got paid off. Got paid.
Okay. All right. I'm going to make a motion to waive the remainder of the lien on this property. Oh, I can't make a motion.
No.
I'll accept a motion. Chair will entertain a motion to waive the lien on this property at 949 Vernon Street. Is there such a motion?
Is that wording good enough to you, Amy? Because it's not a satisfaction, because they're not... Oh, June. I mean, will that give you enough direction to know...
Well, we didn't get a second on it anyway, so... All right, so I'd like someone else on this board to make a motion. Because there is no second to my motion.
Again, I'd like to make a motion that we accept half the remainder of the fee.
All right, there's a motion on the floor to accept half of...
Now, what does that mean?
The remainder of the lien, which means $4,500?
No.
We have that.
Sorry.
20.
Which means
about 27.
Yeah.
20.
Yeah. What would it mean?
Do we have that money? $9,000.
No.
There's $5,700 due.
Okay.
So half of that.
Half of the $5,759. All right. Chair will entertain a motion to... there's been a motion made by Ms. House to reduce the amount of the lien to $2,750, subject to being paid within 30 days of the final revert to the original amount. Is there a second? That motion also fails. I'd like somebody else on the board to make a motion.
I'll make a motion to show the lien as being satisfied.
Okay, so
is that the correct verbiage?
Right, so waive
the remainder of the fees.
Second.
Okay.
A motion has been made by Ms. Purdy to waive the remainder of the lien.
Upon the as a result of the getting the $9,000.
Waive the remainder of the lien, right? That's it.
Waive the remainder.
All right. Ms. Perry made the motion. Is there a second? Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor? Let's have a roll call, please.
Ms. Cundick?
Yes.
Mr. Hines?
No.
Ms. House?
No.
Mr. Harrington?
No.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Purdy?
Yes.
Mr. Weatherholt?
No. I would think that...
All right. The motion failed then, correct?
Right.
The vote was 4-3. All right. Please make another motion.
A motion that city get costs, whatever it takes.
You want to make $1,000 in costs?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And we have another motion on the floor. And that motion is... to reduce the amount of the lien to $1,000, subject to being paid within 30 days, or the fine will revert to the original amount. And Mrs. Himes made the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. I'll let the roll call vote, please.
Ms. Cundy?
Yes.
Ms. Himes?
Yes.
Ms. House?
Yes.
Mr. Harrington?
No.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Ms. Purdy?
I'm going to say yes.
Mr. Weatherholt?
Yes.
Do we meet the requirement of the...
Five to two.
We're satisfied.
What if it wouldn't work?
Motion passes 5-2. All right. Now we'll go to lien review number two. CEB 12-17-171226 Lockhart Williamson. Are they here? Not here? Here. Good. Okay, please come forward and be sworn in. Oh, no. There you are. Hello. State your name and address for the record.
Delphine Williamson, 190 Eric Drive, Palm Coast, Florida.
Would you raise your hand, please?
Yes.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Can we just hear a little review of the case, please, and then we'll give you a chance to speak.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, this this lien was imposed as a result of a respondent needing a rental license and business tax receipt as well as these other violations that were mentioned. They were still in the process of needing this rental license accomplished, and they were, at least the conclusion I think at the time was that they were not being as efficient in time as they could be diligent. And so ultimately they were a request for imposition of fine, and a fine was imposed. As you can see from the time period, about 19 days after the fine was imposed, they came into compliance. What's one of the obvious efforts of once a fine is imposed is to stimulate someone to take action. And so upon notification that, hey, we got a fine, they went ahead and took care of what they had to take care of. The staff's position is 10% of the lien is sufficient to the staff, which I know it's $200, but that's the request of staff that was taken care of within a short time after the notification of the lien, of the fine. And so the staff is asking for a $200 fine, reduction to $200. As you see, it had accrued to $1,900.
So, okay, we have a rental license on the property and all everything.
The property is in compliance, yes.
Okay, good. Okay. Do you still have the same tenant in there?
No.
Okay. Okay. Do you have a tenant in there now?
I do.
Okay. All right. Any comments from the board? Okay. Properties in compliance. Chair will entertain a motion to reduce the amount of lien to $200, subject to being paid within 30 days, or the fine will revert to the original amount. Is there such a motion?
A second.
Who made the motion?
I can make the motion.
Yes. Okay. Ms. Purdy made the motion. Is there a second?
Sorry.
All right. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
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 Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. So if you'll see Ms. Barnes, she'll do paperwork for you and tell you what you need to do. All right. So much for lien reviews. Let's move on to our continued cases. Case number one is in compliance. Case number two, CEB 0218-23, Samuel E. Blanco at 127 Fairview Avenue. Respondent present? No. Respondent wasn't present last time either. Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Danny Garcia. Mr. Garcia reports that the property remains in noncompliance. He's had no contact from the respondent. He's asking for a $200 a day fine to a maximum of $15,000. And I have... Mr. Garcia, if you have any factual questions.
Okay. No contact. And the person hasn't bothered to show up, so I...
No work's been done.
No one's living there.
There's someone staying in there. And this one, I don't know. It's empty, but the windows are busted, and there's no change. No change at all.
Okay. All right. So, Chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $200 per day against the respondent effective today, March 8th, 2018, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches a maximum of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion, Mrs. Hines. Second, Mrs. House. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number 3, CEB02-18-24, Samuel Blanco. This is at 125, a different property, right?
Actually, interesting. It's the same parcel, different address.
Okay.
I guess the way it was ultimately the pending division or was never divided. But the similar situation, of course. I think what the inspector just mentioned is that apparently this one is occupied. That's when he said that that one wasn't. This one is.
Okay.
But the circumstance remains that it still remains in noncompliance. And the staff is asking for $250 a day fine to a maximum of $15,000. And again, I tender Mr. Garcia if you have any further factual questions.
Do you know if it's the owner that's living in there? Or
I have no idea, no contact at all. I've seen people walking around, I've seen people out there. They don't speak or anything, they won't answer the door.
Okay, so we don't know whether this is an owner-occupied house or not? I mean, how is it listed at the county?
Well, I can tell you.
Do we know? Well, if it's up to 50, I mean, I think somebody's probably done that research because it's non-owner. I mean, the fine is like a non-owner-occupied fine.
It's under Samuel Blanco. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Ma'am, sir, we hadn't received any type of indicators that we have an owner. We hadn't had any response from an owner. Although we've seen people, we hadn't had any responses, and it is family property. I mean,
right. They're not
the house itself is a single family house, but
right.
There's two on the parcel.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, any comments from the board? Chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day against the respondent effective today, March 8th, 2018. And continue until compliance is achieved or reaches a maximum of $15,000. Is such a motion? Motion, Mrs. Himes. Second, Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number 4. CEB01-18-17 JL&W Property of Daytona. Respondent present? No, respondent was not present at the last time we discussed this.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that this property remains in noncompliance. He's asking for a fine of $200 per day to a maximum of $15,000. And in this case, we still do not have a business tax receipt or even the payment for the business tax. So we're also asking for the $250 one-time administrative fee. And I tender Mr. Stinson if you have any facts and questions.
What's the roll-off doing out there?
Good morning. John Stinson, Code Inspector with the City. My qualifications are on file. The owner of the property has just regained possession of the property after the eviction. He got possession on 3-5. The roll-off is there to remove all of the former occupants' belongings. It's in pretty bad shape. It's going to be a while.
We gave him an extra month, correct, because of the tenant, as that's what I recall. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. When was the tenant evicted, do you know?
He just got his writ of possession on 3-5, the 5th of this month.
Have you had contact with him?
Yes. It was a long, lengthy eviction, and they didn't do anything while the tenant was there for fear that the tenant was going to damage
right.
any repairs.
We're only talking about 3 days. from the date of the eviction right to now, it's really not enough time to get somebody to clean the house.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Fine today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could sort of fine maybe after maybe 30 days down the road or something.
I have no problems amending to the next cutoff.
I know. I sort of. That's kind of what.
If
go
I
ahead.
Could just ask Mr. Simpson, is it reasonable for me to be able to comply in the next 30 days based on the, what has to be done with full diligence and whatever economics are necessary? Is it reasonable for me to be able to get this thing done?
From what I know of the property, yes. I have not seen the interior. And from his description, it's cosmetic.
So you're saying it is reasonable to complete this in 30 days?
Yes, it is.
Any other comments from the board?
I think with the board, our goal is to get it to come in compliance, but if you don't give them an incentive to bring it into compliance, and that's what I think that we're here to do, to make sure. If we would give him a light fine per day, say I'd be acceptable to 100 a day, and then if he gets it done in a reasonable amount of time, we can adjust it accordingly then.
Okay. I just remember that there was a tenant that was being evicted
right
in this case.
Yes, there was.
It was 3 days ago.
And he just got, and this person was afraid of going onto the property to do any work to it at all because of that tenant. And the, and he did go through all the proper channels to get the tenant evicted.
Yeah.
So I would not be averse to giving him 30 more days to clean this up. I mean, it, you know, it shouldn't have gotten to this point, I agree. But it is at that point. And if after 30 days, then I think we can, this is my opinion.
Madam Chair, and if I can say as well, not having that on my notes when I started speaking, the position of the city is that we withdraw requests for fine. So that, just so we're clear,
okay,
the city has been asking for a fine.
Okay.
We believe that a reasonable time needs to be given after the opportunity to access the property, and
right,
so we're asking that that reasonable time be granted.
Okay.
So do an amended order of non-compliance with a hearing to impose on the next meeting?
Yes, that's our request.
Go ahead.
I agree with that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow the respondent until 4/4/18 to come into compliance to be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. House. Second, Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number 5, CEB01-18-13, Carolina Club Associates.
Huh. Would you state your name, please?
Kristen Burns. I'm the property manager.
And can you raise your hand? Mm-hmm. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Please have a seat and we'll hear from our attorney first.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is John Stinson. You may be reminded this has been before you a couple of times already. The this is the commercial property off of the Dunn extension where with the need for a enclosure. The inspector is kind of been really pressing on needing this done and with a little bit of frustration. However, the reality of the circumstance is that it is the permit is still pending. There are things that are necessary for before the permit is issued, surveying and other things that have not yet been completed and accomplished. And so we're asking that to be amended to the next cutoff so that those things are accomplished. I would tender Mr. Stinson for any factual
respond to any factual questions, or as well as to that issue as well.
All right. Let's see. Mr. Stenson, so the permits have been obtained. Permits have been obtained?
Good morning again, John Stenson, Code Inspector. No, the permits have not been obtained as of yet. They are still awaiting some... They're under review downstairs. They're still waiting
for some
corrections.
They are under review.
They filed an application.
Yes.
When did they file the application? Can you tell me?
The permit has been under review since February 14th.
You know when it was applied for?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay. Maybe she can tell us. Okay. I mean, it just seems like a lot of time for code officers, the city, and this board. This is the second or third, this is the third time, I think, we've been here for a simple enclosure. And I don't know what the holdup is, but it seems like an awful lot for a little.
One thing is the trash has not been removed or haven't been removed.
It gets picked up weekly. We have a lot of evictions, and which is why we're trying to move the location of the enclosure also so it's not visible from the street. My contractor said he's never in his life had so much trouble obtaining a permit.
Speak into the mic, Professor. Thank you.
He said he's never, ever had so much trouble obtaining a permit as he has trying to get this one. It's just a concrete slab and a fence. It's not load-bearing. There's no electrical. There's no plumbing. And I'm going to go downstairs and see, because he said he submitted the surveys that they've requested, and I have no idea why it's taking so long to get a concrete slab. It's awful for us as well.
When did you apply for the permit?
The contractor had to apply for it. We signed our contract with him on January 26th, and he applied for it right after.
You were first notified in October 2017, and you signed a contract with him in January?
I do not sign the contracts. That's the corporate office. And we had to get them to come out to approve us to be able to get it.
The application that was submitted, is there a letter that goes back to them asking certain things, giving them time to a certain date to get those things? How does that work?
For permit.
Just to make sure I understand your question, you want to know...
Application is filed.
It's filed.
The person is reviewing the application in the building department wants... If there are certain things missing.
Correct.
They need certain things. Do they give them a time that to get those things in? Or do you have to get it in 20 days or 10 days or 30 days? How does that work here?
Oh, well, actually, they leave it to the customer, the client, or whatever. They immediately tell them what's required.
So what are we missing in this case?
In this particular case, there's a survey. And that's according to the record.
Did I hear testimony that the survey has been submitted?
I guess I'm just telling you what I've read off of the
screen. Yeah, thank you.
If I can just remind the board of this, that they actually did, when we first started this case, remember we started this case with them making this effort to comply without doing right steps, and that's how we got this, that was the incorrect. So it's not that we're going all the way back to the initial date that on a permitting issue, and that's they did it wrong first, and then they were put in a position to, after they came here and after they got involved with the inspector on the instructions on what was the right thing to do. So I don't know what that time period is, but I don't know if it reaches as far back as the October date.
What did you have for this purpose before you started this structure?
We originally had a fence just up there, and there was a fire that burned down everything, which is what caused the problem. It was originally just a three-sided fenced-in area that we've had since the property was built in 2001.
Well, can we set a compliance date?
We can amend the previous order like we, Chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondents until April 4th, 2018 to come into compliance or be returned to a subsequent meeting for a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
Yeah.
Mr. Harrington made the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Mrs. House. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, let's hope that next month this is just a fence. With what?
I'm confused.
Wait, you mean a retroactive?
All right. Case number 6, CEB 11-17-158, AF 126 South OE, Amber Residential Trust.
Respondent present?
Yes.
Okay. There you are.
State your name, please.
Mike Bretzel.
Daniel Rice.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
I just have a seat, and we'll let Mr. Jackson testify here. I do remember we had to re-notice this, which we did. That's why it's continued till today, because the city had to re-notice people. Correct? Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead, Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of, for imposition of a fine. And funny, I have my writing here, and because of my broken hand, I wrote some stuff I couldn't read because I don't write anymore. So I apologize for that delay. It's still trying to get everything right. The inspector is Mark Jones, and Mr. Jones reports that the property remains in noncompliance. In fact, while it remains in noncompliance, he still has a for rent sign out there. The position of the city's time is up. We're asking for a fine of $250 a day to the maximum of $20,000, which would be, because it's a multi-family property, then that would be the fine amount.
Okay. So let me ask you, since we're in the extra month, what's been, Mr. Jones, what's been accomplished that you've noticed?
Well, they went ahead and painted the structure, had not got redevelopment approval. I have talked with the people in the redevelopment department. They stated they went out and looked at it, and what they did was just paint over the whole building. They didn't have approval. They didn't replace any rotten wood, siding, or anything, and just repainted it. Their terminology was very shoddy work. To this date, we have no permits have been pulled, and we have no approvals from the redevelopment.
Okay. So this is in the South Atlantic redevelopment
yes.
area?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Gentlemen, what would you like to say? Mr. Bretzel?
So the work that's been done on the property so far, the paint's been done, and Reed Berger went out to look at the paint to see if they approved of the color or not, and the only phone call that I got back was that they weren't happy with the way the 2x4 was painted with the white trim. They wanted the whole 4x4 painted. When you see the front of it, the screens, most of them have been replaced. The window's now open. There's new blinds in the front. He's filed an eviction on number 2. He's fixed all the broken windows on the back garage doors. He's painted the interior and done carpet in number 4. The rental license application has been in and applied for, and it's a transfer. So, of course, they're having trouble getting the old owner to sign off on the transfer. And the city has suggested doing the transfer as opposed to getting a new license. So there's a little delay with that, but that was all done within the first 30 days. They're using Jack at C&J's Electric, has done several repairs out on the property. He's a licensed and insured contractor. John Banks has now agreed to be the contractor for the exterior stairs. This new owner's only had the property for 60 days, and he lives in California. Did he get overzealous and paint the property? Absolutely. He wasn't aware of the fact that there was a color needed. I was the realtor that sold him the property, Danny works for the property management company that he brought on afterwards, but he had already started the painting process. And they've also used a beachside handyman service who's also licensed and insured. He's the one that did the screens and things like that. So all three of the vendors that have worked on the property are licensed guys. He spent thousands of dollars already fixing the property.
Have you stayed in contact with Mr. Jones and made him aware of all these things that you've done?
Mr. Jones, the next time we were supposed to come in was 30 days after the first meeting. I wasn't able to attend that. I had to go out to Ocala to a funeral. And I called him and let him know that I wasn't going to be here for the last meeting 30 days ago. And he did say that he called me last week, I guess, to ask some other questions. And I didn't have answers to the questions because I had to go to Danny at the property management company to find out these answers that I've just given you with the applications being applied for and all the other things that they've done on the property so far. So this is an out-of-town owner that owns two other properties in town that has no problems, no compliance issues. He bought this. He's already spent thousands, and he intends to spend more on the property. We're going to get the bad tenants out. We're going to bring good tenants in.
All right. Thank you. And really, where he lives is kind of immaterial to this board. Mr. Rice, you are the property manager.
Yes, ma'am.
You're authorized to speak for the property manager.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Bretzel, what's your position?
I'm the real estate agent that sold him the property.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And my wife owns the property management company.
What's the zoning for this house?
It's multifamily. It's not a problem with the zoning. The issue is that the exterior paint, and obviously they didn't replace any of the rotten wood because you need a contractor to do that. So they did put paint on. They did replace mini blinds. They did scrape the tape off the windows. They started the eviction process on the tenants that are causing problems.
How many units are in this building?
There's five units total. There were three tenants when he got the building.
How many are there now?
There's still three. The eviction process was started on the people upstairs who had not paid their rent to the old owner. And the new owner, of course, trying to be nice. Let's give them 30 days so they can get out. They didn't get out, so then
the advice was to start the eviction. You have court order for all that?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Do you have documentation for all of the license contractors?
We could give her a vendor list of the people that have worked on the property, all three of the folks that are out there. John Banks hasn't done anything yet. He just gave a bid, and everybody's agreed now that he's going to be the one to do the work. But it was a matter of gathering a couple of bids. There's not a lot of contractors that want to get involved with projects that already have issues.
And do you understand that you're going to work with the redevelopment agency?
Absolutely, and that's why I brought Danny in today to introduce him so that they can communicate and stay on top of what's being done.
I'll get in contact with him and see if I can set up a meeting with him.
If you've been here long enough, you know that it's in the redevelopment area.
We didn't start the painting process. As soon as the owner got it, he got someone to paint the property and didn't come to me so I could say, hey, wait a minute, you got to get approval on the color.
It was ugly.
But you saw the pictures before with the terrible color that was on it. Reed, like I said, has gone out, and his only complaint was the 2x4 there painted with the white trim. He wanted that whole 4x4 painted. That was the phone call I got. I didn't get a call to say there's a problem with it. So in our eyes, no news is good news. If he didn't call back after saying he was going out to see the property, only mentioned the 2x4 painting, that they didn't like the trim.
There'll be other things that...
Absolutely. Like I said, that's why Danny's here. I bring these clients in to buy property in town to spend money fixing up Daytona Beach. This guy, like I said, has bought three properties. He spent over $500,000.
Okay.
And
well,
he's certainly going to fix the building.
Okay. Mr. Rice, as the manager of the building, are you aware that you need certain permits?
Yes.
Are there any permits that you have applied for?
Yes, we spoke to Mr. Banks about pulling that permit. He's applied for that permit.
No, he hasn't done the application.
He hasn't done the application.
Excuse me. Good. What?
I'm new, so you...
That's okay. Well, you need to figure out what's going on with this property if you're the manager. Okay.
Yes.
So, have any permits been applied for?
I don't think... No.
Other than the rental license, no. Nothing that's been done has needed a permit at this point.
According to whom?
According to code.
Okay.
That's why they didn't touch any of the rotten wood. They only
Mr. Jones, can you tell me, are permits an issue here?
Well, permits will be an issue here because they have to replace the rotten siding that they have. That has to be done by a licensed contractor. A lot of the trim, the mullions, a lot of woodwork that needed to be done would be required a permit. If they're going to redo stairs, railings, mm-hmm. those are going to be required.
So they will need permits.
Plus they'll need plans.
Yeah,
yes.
And
an architect.
And they had to get
the engineers for the outside stairs. I'm
sorry. Okay.
And they were supposed, before doing any of the painting or the colors, they were to get the redevelopment approval first.
So the tenant upstairs is going to be gone. That leaves you with two tenants. You have three apartments that are vacant?
Yes.
What are some thoughts from the board, please?
What are you doing for the sidewalk and driveway?
I thought it was an issue.
No, there's some cracks and things in the sidewalk. The previous owner took care of those cracks. If you guys go out, you'll see there's cracks, but there's no... I guess the problem was with concrete lifting, there was a tripping issue. That has been taken care of. That's something that the other owner did.
Okay. I don't see in here, Mr. Jones, anything about stairs, needing a permit for stairs. Accessory structures, general maintenance, protective treatments, exterior walls, decorative features, windows, skylight, door, frames, unopened windows, screens, and electrical.
Yes, I agree. It's not written on this violation. We had talked about there was a problem with the stairs. So, again, then that is not part of this violation as written.
Okay.
I mean, it's part of the whole renovation of the property.
Okay.
And I, as a... was stated, I attempted to get a hold of the real estate agent last week, so that I could get in and take an mm-hmm. assessment of the property, and I did not get a return call on that.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? Now, this said you are notified. All right, never mind. 8/18. Last year, it's August.
That's the old owner. The new owner took possession.
When was the new owner noticed?
Well, he took possession 60 days ago. I'm sorry.
When was the new owner noticed, Mr. Jackson?
You have to look to the file amendment.
Okay. This March?
Yes, ma'am. To Mike. To Mike's attention.
And who was added to that? Who was the new owner?
Mike is the new owner.
The new owner lives in Fall Bumps.
Mike Lowry is the new owner.
Who is the new owner?
Mike Lowry.
And he is AF 126 South Oleander? No.
No. Stonegate property. It's a corporation.
Oh, it's
a corporation.
Stonegate property.
Yes.
Stonegate property?
The new owner. Correct?
Correct.
The old owner was 126 South Oleander Residential Trust. Mm-hmm. So we sent all the new information on March 2nd to Stonegate.
So this South Oleander trustee does not exist anymore in terms of this property?
Not that I know of on this property.
Okay.
We need to take it off.
All right. Now, I want to, as much as I want this property fixed in the right way, I am willing, this is my opinion, my thinking is that because there was no notification until March 2nd that was completed that we need to back off this just a little bit and give them, amend our previous order and allow them another month. What's anybody think about that?
I agree.
Mr. Berger, would you like to enlighten us with anything about this case? Good morning.
I'm sorry, I just walked in. So.
Okay.
Just in time.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. What can you tell us about this property? All right, go ahead.
I think.
Okay.
Raise your hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reed Berger, redevelopment director for the city of Daytona Beach.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, what can you tell us about this property? We know is of the South Atlantic CRA, and we know that there are rules and regs for the properties that are being fixed up in the CRA. Can you tell us what, in your opinion, needs to be done to get this house into compliance with the CRA rules?
With the CRA rules?
Come before the CRA?
Sure. No.
No. Okay.
No, it does not. We do have a grant program, and that has been our involvement is to address either with grants or in this case, I can't even tell you if this one's associated with a grant, but I can tell you that when there's pink color, we will approve those. We have to provide a written approval and make sure that happens. And in this case, we approve the colors. We had some questions, I think, about some of the detailing and what we saw out there with some of the quality. There's some areas I think need some additional painting from what I can tell. In other words, it was a pretty light covering of the paint, and like to have some additional painting on that. But that's from my observations.
Okay.
And I really don't think I can contribute to the rest of what's already in the record.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right.
We were on extending 30 days.
Right.
I'm willing to do that, but not because they weren't notified, because they were doing all this work, so they obviously were aware of all these problems.
That it needed to be done. But really, I just want, you know, we need to keep our...
I think that was a clerical.
Yeah. Okay. All right, the chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until April 4th, 2018 to come into compliance to be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mrs. House. Second, Mrs. Hines. All in favor say aye.
Before we do that,
all right,
I would
discussion.
Like to see the officer get with them and make a new list of what needs to be done, and when you come back, you bring us that list checked off. So we're in agreement when everybody gets here, that's what's been done.
Yes, sir.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. So we'll see you back next month, and hopefully everything will be in order. All right, let's move on to case number 7, CEB 11-17-160, Rosetta Henderson. Is Rosetta Henderson here? She was here last time. Everything was supposedly in progress last time. What's going on now, Mr. Jackson?
Madam Chair, members of the board, Mark Jones is the inspector in this case as well. It's here for imposition of a fine. Mr. Jones reports that she is still working on it. He's asking that it be amended, that it's I'll tend to him to give you the details, but he feels that she's working on it in good faith, and he's asking that it be amended to the next cutoff.
Okay. Mr. Jones, what's been done since the last time?
Well, the property's all been cleaned up. Those are old photos, and there's some that's from November, and then there's some
It gets confusing with that. 380.
Yeah, it's up on the right-hand
there.
Corner.
Yeah, you said
this is what it looks
today.
Like today.
Okay.
So it has been cleaned up.
Okay.
Ms. Harrison had a contractor submit for permits. She had canceled that her agreement with that contractor, has since hired a new contractor who has submitted for permits, and it is under review. I don't foresee any major problems that she should be having with it. Once she gets that, we should be in compliance.
Are the vehicles gone?
Yes.
Okay. Is this a single-family house?
Yes, it is. She's applied for her rental license and her BT.
Oh, she's applied for it. Okay.
Yes, we're just waiting. She was waiting to get it all inspected at the same
okay.
time.
All right. Any comments from the board? All right, Chair, I'll entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow a respondent until April 4th, 2018 to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. There's such a motion? Motion, okay. Mr. Himes. Second, Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. And all right, case number 8CEB01-18-08, Kaleo Land. Respondent present. Okay. Please clap, state your name and address.
Your name? Aaron Blake, 16745 Camelin Court, Claremont, Florida.
Raise your hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
What is your relation to Kaleo Land?
I'm an owner and managing member.
Okay. Were you here last time?
Yeah, I was here at the beginning of January, and okay. you guys gave me an extension to do
okay.
a long laundry list of things.
Okay. All right. Well, let us hear from Mr. Jackson. Okay. We'll get you'll have a chance to speak.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Mark Jones. Mr. Jones reports that the respondent has been making progress. He's done improvements, accomplishing some of the things that he could do on the outside. He has a tenant on property who he's been working on as far as towards eviction. That eviction is still in progress, and so we're asking that that this case be amended to the next cutoff for him to come into compliance and attend to Mr. Jones for any factual questions.
Mr. Jones, so application has been made for the business tax receipt
and the rental license.
Okay.
We had an inspection scheduled for the first of this week. Went out and met with the owner, and it was determined at that time that it is not in any condition to even have the rental inspection. I'm sure the owner can speak to
okay.
what went on.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right, Mr. Blake.
Well, since the last time I was here, I did a lot of work, hauled away 5 dumpsters of stuff, towed 2 vehicles, replaced the roof, redid the central AC, hired a window company to change all of the windows, had a landscaper go out. But in the last couple of weeks, I started having issues with the tenant with the inside of the property, and it just became apparent that there's no way to remodel this property with the tenant
inside.
In the property.
Mm-hmm.
So when I met with Mark Jones, kind of had a reality check and realized this isn't going to work. So I made the decision to call the tenant and let him know I can't keep renting to him. And so I gave him 45 days to get out. I terminated his lease. I'm not charging him anything, so he can use that for his new place. He's a real nice guy. And I also, just to make sure he's motivated, I offered him $1,000 cash if he gets out in that time frame.
What is that time frame?
45 days.
From?
From Monday. This past Monday.
This Monday?
Yeah. So, in my experience, I don't want to put an eviction on somebody's record if I can avoid it. Plus, it costs a lot of money,
well,
and I'd rather have the money go towards helping him.
I'll keep that to myself.
Maybe I'm too nice. I don't know. I'm not in the rental business, and I've realized I don't want to be. So, my intentions are, as soon as he's out, to continue with all of the work and sell the property.
Cool.
You said that you did roof work. What did you do?
Completely replaced it. I have copies of invoices for those for you if you want them.
Pulled a permit?
Yes, sir. Everything. All licensed contractors, all permits, everything.
So is this what it looks like today?
Wait, I know. Or just that thing down at the bottom.
They're mixed
so
together.
I know.
Those pictures.
All right, so let's go through these pictures.
March 7th.
Okay.
March 7th.
Okay. So these are all just yesterday?
The roof wasn't on.
Well, the only issue at this point is the rental license inspection.
Right.
I've fixed everything else that was required. I'm doing more things that aren't required necessarily,
right.
But the only one that is left is the rental license inspection, and it's just not a point
did
in doing
you
it.
Say you replaced the roof?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. It's hard to tell in the pictures, but
that
it's a
is.
Brand new roof. Charcoal colored shingles with a black aluminum drip edge.
Yes. Yeah, see, you can see it there better.
Where's the receipt? I can see it.
Well, the only thing on our paper is BTR and RTL.
Right, exactly.
So, and you've applied for that, so I recommend that we give him the period of time to
okay.
get this guy evicted. And if you're not going to rent that out after he's
no.
evicted, is it necessary that he still gets the license? Because the guy is still there, is that the idea?
Once he's evicted, we'll do the affidavit of that he would not be renting it, and that would satisfy the that would bring the property into compliance once it's vacant without a tenant, and he signs the affidavit saying that he will not be renting the property. So that's kind.
Can
that's
he sign that affidavit prior to the guy?
No. We need it vacant. He says a tenant.
And
so
he could have a tenant
so it's still a rental.
45 more days.
Even if he's not, I know he said he's.
And it could be actually could have the tenant for longer than that because this is only a verbal agreement that you have with the tenant to leave. It is not, you know, if you needed a real eviction, you would have to take even longer. I would guess.
Yeah, I guess that could happen, but I think from talking to him and looking in his eyes, I'm pretty sure he understands what's going on, and I'm being extremely kind with him and also putting a very good carrot in front of him to help him.
Yeah,
on his
I get
way,
what
so
you're doing. Yeah.
I would be very shocked if he doesn't take that.
Not much shocks me, so.
I don't do all of this for a living, but I can keep emailing Mark once a week, and I can let him know if you know when the tenant finds a new address and give him the address of where the guy's going and things like that, if that helps. Yeah.
So are we amending? Any other comments? Well,
but
yeah, Mrs. House made a was that a motion?
Well, it can be.
Okay. made a motion to amend the previous order of non-compliance and allow respondent until April 4th, 2018 to come into compliance or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion? Oh, well, she made it. All right, motion, Mrs. House. Second.
Madam Chair, before you
okay.
complete that, The staff has no problem with an additional month, but I don't know if the board does.
It's a bad idea to give 45 days.
He needs 45 days minimum.
No, I.
What did that exactly mean?
Well, it means that because
no
he gave his
because he needs longer than 30 days.
Because Mr. Blake gave the tenant 45
right.
days that nothing's going to happen
from
in
Monday.
30 days. But
mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of uncomfortable with this.
What, if, can I speak?
Yes.
If the, I heard her say the next meeting's in 37 days from now. Is that correct?
From Monday.
Yes,
oh,
pretty accurate.
I could probably go talk to the tenant and tell him, look, the board is giving me till such and such date. We need to hurry this up.
Yeah, okay.
I think I could get that done.
April 13th would be the date.
I think I can get that done.
April 13th?
For the date for the next meeting.
It says 12th.
And I'm also a licensed real estate broker.
You're right,
12. I'm also a licensed real estate broker, so if I need to help him find
that would
property,
help.
I can do that too. So that's why I say I feel comfortable I can help him out.
But I still don't see any reason to wait. Because by then, you should know whether this man's coming or going.
Yes.
Right?
He's going.
So if we just put it off till the next cutoff, April 4th, 2018, that was the motion and the second. We have a motion and a second on the floor.
Right.
All in favor, any other comments? All in favor say aye.
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 Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay. Case number 9 is in compliance. Case number 10 is in compliance. Mr. Klieg, case number 11CB01-18-01. Vishnu Limited. Lawyer Michael Cochetti here. No, not this time. Okay. This is at 1000. Oh, I remember. North Atlantic. This is we go ahead, Mr. Jackson. I remember now what we're doing with this.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for progress report and determination of compliance date. The inspector just informed me that he had gotten a call from the attorney saying that he was not going to be able to make it to the meeting today, and but he will be. But the inspector is prepared to give the update as he to the extent that he knows.
Okay, good. Because we said that, you know, that would be acceptable to us if he couldn't come back every month, that it would be acceptable for him to talk to
Mr. Klieg
or to email his progress report.
So I'll attend to Mr. Klieg.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good morning, Officer Klieg. My credentials are on file. Only thing that he told me, and I went and did a re-inspection yesterday, absolutely no work's been done, of course. He told me, guaranteed, that on the 15th of this month, he's going to either, A, again, like he said last month, have a litigation against insurance company or and or a settlement. So he's basically determining, you know, on the 15th, it's going to be the major ball game of the property. So
that this is going to come into a long, drawn-out process.
The actual completion of work will be, but he's guaranteeing that something's going to be done on the 15th on their part for the legal part.
That they're going to sue the insurance company.
Yeah, they're going to sue the insurance company. Yeah, could be a long time.
Yeah.
Right. And if not, they'll have a settlement, which is another at least 30 days after that. So.
Can they secure some?
Somewhat. Yeah, it's secure. They got a lot of problems with transfers.
There. What do you mean like this?
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's the area the tranch has been tearing the fence down. It's a construction fence, and, of course, it's under the trespass referral site.
And that's a current picture of
the... Yeah, that's, nothing's changed. Absolutely. Yeah, that's current. I mean, with, you know...
This property, to me, needs to be secured. The trash needs to be picked up. I mean, no... I understand the major expenses, this is just what I'm thinking, the major expenses, of course, are going to be the roof and the windows and all everything else that goes along with fixing up that property. But until then, it looks to me like there could be some work done that would enhance the security of that building and the way it appeared to the public, just piles of trash.
I agree, and he promised me that he would get with the owner and something would be done, but nothing was done.
Okay, so how about, so this was a progress report, and we don't see any progress.
No progress.
Okay, so let's determine a compliance date then. And it could be next month.
If I could also say that also there's still one permit that's still active. The actual window structure, it expires in May. The roof was expired last month, about a week after our meeting here. So he has to get a re-roof permit on it again. But
well, okay.
So he has one active permit. That's
okay,
open.
And that's the roofing permit?
No, that's the structural permit.
The structural one, okay.
The windows and the balcony.
Okay.
Because you're talking about the one-year limit on the permit?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. And that's May 18th. That he wanted to make sure that y'all understood. But
I think, you know, what you're saying is just minimal effort.
Right.
You know,
nothing.
I agree. And he promised me that he would get it done, but nothing was done.
Right.
I was talking about that. Of course, I didn't cite him for the actual debris, that there's palm fronds and trash. Again,
I'm kind of looking at the pool, and it's not secure. Could we ask the city to secure the property or the pool?
Well, what you may want to do, and I'm reminded that I believe this mid-March date was maybe a mediation, and that's what's going to tell him where he's going. But what we want to do is, as far as the overall time, I don't think we really have an answer on the real overall time.
Right.
But we can continue at least with a determination of compliance. They leave that open as compliance on the property as a whole, but in the interim, give a deadline date for the pool and maintenance of the external, if that's 10 days or 20 or 30 days, but give that deadline date on that issue, we don't have anyone here to tell us why 10 days would be reasonable for them to drain or clean or do something.
Or secure the
or,
pool.
Somehow secure. I think part of the answer is that there is fencing that's being put there, but fencing is being removed. So they're going to have to be a bit more diligent in the efforts to create some satisfaction.
We're going to have to get in front of us because that pool can't stay the way it is.
No.
Right.
I don't think so.
They're not going to do it. City's going to have to do it.
Right. Well, we can ask the city to do it.
Yeah, that's correct.
And hopefully with some of the new things coming down the pipe, they probably pray that they get the money.
Okay.
So we need to get him in here. We don't need a protocol for any of that. We need to impose fine next to his attention.
Okay.
So this is a protocol for simple fine.
Right. That's right.
Okay. Well, one challenge the inspector has pointed out to me is as we look at the violations that he didn't specifically cite him for the pool.
So that what?
That there was no specific. He didn't specifically cite him for the pool. Cite him for maintenance of roof.
No, but we're looking at safety and security right now, correct?
I understand, and obviously
so
we
can still ask the city to secure the pool, correct?
Well, we need to find out if he's going to secure the pool. He's not going to. Then we need to ask the city to do it. That's unacceptable the way it is right now.
The fence is falling down, basically, mm-hmm. bent over, that's around the building, it looks to be.
Somebody.
If I can just say something, when I met with the attorney, I gave him verbal warnings about I didn't cite him actually for the pool.
Uh-huh.
When the property is secure, we're considered the pool to be secure, but again, you know, the property with the construction fence up was secure, but like I said, an ongoing problem with the transients that they keep on tearing it down.
Well,
so I just wanted to make that
on putting it back up, in my opinion, but
yeah,
you know.
But regardless of who's tearing it down, the owner is still responsible.
Yeah, I agree. But like as you know, when I came to the property site, I gave him an actual verbal warning. The attorney told me they're going to get this done. Like he told me they're going to get done the debris and so forth. But again, I told him last time it wasn't done, I'd go out there and I can go and recite him. So obviously, I'll go back out and recite him now for the pool and debris again and so forth. I just thought it was his good faith. He had three other violations on him, but he would get something started. So.
Yeah, because, you know, regardless, he's got to make some type of effort, you know.
I agree, but
securing and, you know, the visibility of the neighbors and everything. It's, It's minimal.
Right.
I'm going to suggest doing two things.
Okay.
Bringing them back next month or here, uh-huh. But asking the commission now, they would secure the pool.
Okay.
And we'd have an answer from the commission at the next meeting.
Right.
Because
then from the city.
We can go one way or the other. He's going to do what the city's going to do. Can't leave it like that.
And I think an appropriate order, and I'm being reminded by Ms. Hampton of some of the things we've done in the past, but I think an appropriate order would be an order that says that he continue, as a continuing running order, that he continue to maintain the property and keep the property secure, which would include the pool, and so that would then open you up to sanction if indeed this concern of the pool not having the appearance of being secure or maintained.
So that's fine. But I'm concerned about it. If we come back here next month,
nothing's done.
I'm not going to do anything.
I understand.
You can't wait another month for the city commission.
We're not.
I'm going to spend the money.
No. All right. I think that, let me see if I kind of craft this motion. We're going to, I'm going to see if this works. Entertain a motion to enter a compliance date of April 4th, 2018. And further motion to authorize the city to secure the property and the pool 10 days from now, or within?
No, they request the city commission to do everything necessary to secure the property.
Right.
And then
authorize the city to secure the property, to do whatever is necessary to secure the property.
And he can come back next month and say, commission has reviewed this, they're willing to do this, and if the order doesn't want to do it, then the next commission is back up on. Then wait another month. Go back to the commission.
Yeah, I don't want to wait another month on this.
You can't do that. What do you get hurt out there?
So is that a clear motion?
And in the interim, that the property remains maintained and secured.
Yeah.
And
I don't know how the mechanism is in the city, Tony. Whether you have to put on the agenda or is that has.
It starts with a staff.
It
starts with the staff determination.
Right.
So it will go through the staff and to the city manager, and ultimately, if it becomes.
Does
a commission.
It have to go to the commission? I don't think so.
Usually, what happens, I just happened down at Public Works. This week, or we do. And so, talking to the deputy public works director, they're understaffed. It's very difficult for them to secure something like this, other than what they would do is probably get an outside contractor to secure it.
Uh-huh.
I think that if the owner does, if we could put a fine or something to get the owner, stress for the owner to get it done, whether that be by fine or whatever, and start securing that, because it's quite a cost for the city to come in and get that done. And
well, in my opinion, it would be a bigger cost if a spring breaker decided one night to jump in that pool, jump the fence and jump in that pool. They tend to do things that we don't think they're going to do in this city.
Let's put a fine on this.
I think it would cost the city more if we got sued, is what I'm saying. I don't think we can't put a fine on them right now.
We can do this. We can first. Let's get this back to us next month with a hearing to impose fine.
Okay.
We don't have it here. We don't have that on the agenda today. We should get that on the agenda.
Right.
And
so we made that part of the motion.
We need to direct the staff to get with the city
right.
to do whatever is necessary
to secure the property. Right.
Here.
So those are the two parts.
Would only be. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Go ahead.
It's only on the table if we include in that motion that the property be maintained and secured, because without that, as it's what they're ordered to do at this point, doesn't include. Specifically, the pool is not a specific part of that.
All right, so we're making a motion to enter a compliance date of 4/14. 4/12. I'm sorry, 4/4.
4/4, right.
2018. We're in addition, a motion to authorize the city to secure the property and to further motion that the property owner secures the property?
Take any and all methods to secure the property immediately.
And secure and maintain. Take any and all methods to secure the property immediately.
Secure and maintain the property.
And maintain.
Okay.
I'm good. And it's complicated, but it means they have to get busy on something.
Okay.
And that pool is just hideous liability to the city. In that condition, in my opinion. So, is there such a motion? Ms. House, second? Is there a second?
Aye.
Okay, so it was Mrs. Himes made the motion. Second, Mrs. House, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. All right. Case number 12, CB02-18-19. Robbie and Wendy Burke at 273 Hartford. In the audience? No. Ah, yes. Okay. Come forward, please.
State your name and address, please.
My name is Robbie Burke. Address 286 Hartford.
Okay.
The address there is... Oh, I'm sorry. Right
here. Go ahead. Same address.
Same address.
Mm-mm.
No.
273 will be the address I'm here for.
Right. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. If you'll just wait a second, we'll hear from Mr. Jackson and Mr. Klieg. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you from position of a finding inspector, Tom Klieg. Mr. Klieg reports that the property remains in noncompliance. There's still... a need for the roof to be maintained. They still need to pull permits. The inspector is requesting a $250 day fine to a maximum of $15,000. The inspector is Tom Klieg, and I tend to Mr. Klieg for any additional factual information.
All right. So we don't have a license, Mr. Klieg, and the roof isn't fixed yet.
Officer Klieg, my credentials are on file. Mr. Burke called me a couple of weeks ago, and he told me that he's not going to rent. The property's unoccupied. He's not
it's unoccupied
rent.
Right now?
Right, it's unoccupied. I need to still get a written affidavit from him that he's not going to rent it anymore. He told me that he's trying to obtain a permit or some workers to fix the house and sell it, but no work's been done and nothing's been applied for at this time.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Burke, what do you want to tell us?
Okay. Due to Irma, naturally, that's what happened. My tenant left there.
They left?
Oh, yeah. They had to.
Yeah, it's okay.
It ripped
okay.
Half the roof off.
Yeah.
I have contracted somebody, filed a notice of commencement, of course, already with that. My contractor has not put in the permit yet. But
when did you...
I ran yesterday to do this. I honestly, ma'am, I went through a lot of things since this happened. I was in a hospital, had surgery done, I have two more to do, and I'm trying my best to make the city happy with me. I've had the home up for sale, did not want to put a roof on, I figured I'd sell it as it is. That didn't happen, so therefore, contracted Daytona Roofing to do a roof on there. Notice commencement, I ran yesterday to DLAN, had it signed and documented as in yesterday. He's filling out the permitting, I just, not quite enough time. From the last notice I got, I had 10 days to do it from the last notice, but prior to that, I was in the hospital, and I'm very sorry about that, but I'm trying to fix everything. We're doing our best to stay in compliance.
Has the permit been applied for?
No, ma'am. Matter of fact, I'm sorry, but I was just texting him to see if he filled out the permit, because I'm willing to do anything to get it down here to you all today. But the house, and this is a strange thing, and I'm sorry, I don't want to tie up any more time, but it's a very strange thing. I asked the woman on November 27th when I got my check from the insurance to fix the home to please remove her items from the home. They were in the garage. She did not. She actually got upset and contacted code enforcement. So I'm kind of confused on how a person can do that after several months of not living there and I'm being punished at this point, I guess. Yes, it needs a roof. I have the insurance money to do it. It's just, I don't understand. Okay. Everything's kind of went out of control. And it's kind of a, I shouldn't say a needless, stupid thing, but it is. It really has. It's,
okay.
It's went out of control.
All right. Any comments from the board?
You're waiting for the roofing company to apply for a permit?
Yes, ma'am.
Who's the roofing company?
Daytona Roofing. I have the notice of commencement here that has to go with him to go in. If you all like a copy, I have a copy right here of it. Also, Officer Kaliga understands I've been trying to do this. I still got to go back in the hospital. I'm just trying to...
All right, you need to get a permit. That's
right.
Yes, ma'am. But and that's what he explained to me is to get the permit. It's just, it's kind of crazy. She was an upset tenant that I asked
well,
her to
okay.
get
Well, okay, you know, I'm sorry
crazy.
For all of your troubles
yeah.
with
crazy
the tenant
thing.
And with your health.
Yes, ma'am.
But we need to get this fixed.
Yeah, exactly. And it's contracted as of right now. I have a contract with him to do that. And I'm trying my best to get this done. I don't want $1,000 a day fine. I can't afford that.
Well,
insurance to give me
$1,000 a day.
Well, the notice states that it could be up to that, and I was worried. And
okay. Any other comments from the board? Chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day against the respondent effective today, March 8, 2018, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $15,000.
Scares me.
And get the permit. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
For a new roofing company.
All right. Is there such a motion?
At this stage, we don't want to give them a little more time to get the roof permit.
Once he gets the permit, then we won't find them at that point. Then right. He has a matter of time.
So
3 months or
permit,
months.
If I bring that to you all today, can I just resolve this whole problem? Because I'll go to his job site and make him finish filling it out, and I'll bring it in.
As long as it protects you, we should well by you just getting the permit.
So,
I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah, okay. No, his violation is failure to maintain the roof. So until the roof is done, him just obtaining the permit won't bring
right.
him into compliance.
It's got to be found in inspected approvals.
Yeah, it would have to get
so
be final before he's done.
Let's hear some more comments from the board. I made a motion. There is a motion on the floor to impose the fine. Is there a second to that? And then we'll. All right, so that motion dies. So let's hear some more comments from the board of what you'd like to do right now.
Is your roofer willing and able to get it done?
He said within 2 weeks he'll be there to do the roof. I'm doing ICO or something. What they're doing is a foam roof system. It's a flat roof home, and he's doing this system. It costs a lot more money, but it'll give a little pitch to it. It's a flat roof, and I just don't want to deal with that anymore. If I have to spend the money, might as well
okay.
go ahead and do that. But he said about 2 weeks he'll be able to come in and start the roof. My problem, I'm sorry? Oh, he's a very reputable company, and he's done a lot of work in the city of Daytona. And I know exactly where he's working at right now. If I have to, I can go ahead and have him go sign that, and I'll bring it back here myself. He said something, is that true? Does he have to personally give that permit to you all? I've brought all the paperwork to him.
Right.
Well, we don't. You'll have to talk to Mr. Klieg about that because we just can't give you advice.
Right. And I understand that. Okay. I'm just trying my best here to handle things. I have to go back
in. Okay, so let me propose something else. Amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent to come into compliance by April 4th. 2018 or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved.
So,
there's such a motion?
Second.
Okay, we have motion Mrs. Hines, a second Ms. Purdy. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Sign opposed. Motion carries. We've got a couple weeks to get it done.
I'll have it done today.
Okay, good.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
All right, case number CEB12-17-172, Mike Nelson at 104 Maplewood Drive. Mr. Nelson here? No? Okay. Yes? Okay. Okay, we're here for a progress report and a determination of a compliance date. Just please come forward and be sworn in, sir.
Your name and address? State your name.
Mike Nelson.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, now we're going to hear from our code enforcement department first, Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for a progress report and a determination of a compliance date. As you may recall, I believe the respondent is working on an eviction, and so we need some follow up on his status with that and determine how much time to comply. And the inspector is Mark Jones, and my conversation with Mark Jones is he really has no update other than whatever we hear today.
So let me get this straight, Mr. Jones. We're still parking on the front lawn?
Not as of yesterday.
Okay.
There was no vehicles.
Okay.
It appeared that the house may be vacant, but I could not tell.
Okay. Roof?
Nothing
leaking,
that I could
inoperable
observe.
Inoperable windows?
Nope.
Pest infestation, plumbing, system and fixtures, mixing fixtures and bathroom. Right. None of those. You haven't had
I have not been able to have access to the
it.
Property.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Nelson, what do you want to tell us? Is the property occupied?
Yes. Yeah, I got
so someone's
first
in there.
Of all, go ahead.
Someone's in there?
Yeah, someone is there.
Okay.
Yeah, I have sent Mr. Jones an email. If you please pass it through. This is an email that I gave update to Mr. Jones and regarding addresses or the issues that were brought up in his affidavit. And it basically says that property is in compliance. The tenant was evicted.
Excuse me, did you just tell me that there was a tenant in there or there was not a tenant in there?
There was a tenant.
Is there a tenant now?
That tenant was evicted and property went on the market and it was immediately rented, not a new tenant.
So you re-rented?
Yeah, of course. I sent it on March the 1st. I sent an email to Mr. Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically explained to him that after the tenant has left, I have inspected the property. The issue of the parking that Mr. Jones has mentioned is automatically resolved. They're gone. The roof leak, if you recall the testimony of Mr. Jones, he said that he hasn't seen any leak. He basically has been hearsay.
Uh-huh.
And I inspected the roof. The roof is in a great condition. There is no sign of leak. And I took pictures of the roof and emailed it to Mr. Jones along with that email.
Uh-huh.
Regarding to the windows, I've noticed two of the windows in the back are hard to open, but it is just the way you operate it. The lock sets are in a way that when you pull the window up or down, you got to pull it a little bit toward the person and then pull it up and then release it, then it would stay. And when you bring it down, you got to pull it toward yourself, push it down, and it's going to close very easily. In any way, lubricated with...
So what's the progress you've made?
The progress is there is nothing really there to be fixed. I'm just mentioning it to you. That was the windows, that there is no problem with them. And then the bathroom fixture, I previously mentioned to you they were damaged by the previous tenant. They were replaced. And I already have sent the pictures of them to Mr. Jones that shows that they are in place and they're working. And in terms of the infestation, I inspected the house. You cannot see any bark or anything in that house. It's all clean. And so there is no infestation.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Mr. Jones, are you in possession of any of these pictures and emails? And
not to my knowledge. I may have missed an email, but I'm not aware of any detailed report. I will look. Mm-hmm. But I have not seen any pictures or been in contact with him at all.
I haven't seen what he passed, so I don't know if it's something that even indicates that
really
he should have been received.
Was that the email?
Here, let's give it to Mr. Jackson.
May I ask Mr. Jones a question?
Sure. Come on, Mr. Jones.
Now, this was a tenant complaint, right?
Correct.
You got originally. And you entered the home at that time?
Yes, I did.
And the leaking roof, you witnessed a spot in there that was...
I witnessed the stains in the ceiling. It was not raining at the time. The tenant said that's where it had been leaking.
Okay. Did you see any pests?
Yes, I did see pests.
Okay. And did you attempt to open the windows?
Yes, I did, and they were extremely hard, I could not open them.
Okay. And the plumbing, I noticed the pictures from the last time. It looked like it just had a covering that was missing. Is there anything in addition to that?
Correct. What it was missing was in the one shower was missing the faucets to turn the water on and off.
Okay. Okay. And you haven't been back in there since?
I have not been able to gain entrance since then.
Okay.
Again, we were waiting until the, from the last meeting we had, we were waiting until the tenants were evicted so that we'd be able to go in and do another inspection.
Okay.
Now,
I'm still talking. May I ask you why you didn't contact him to inspect it between tenants?
As I mentioned, I sent him an email, and if you look at the bottom of the email, I'm asking him. He sent and he put a letter actually on the property, and I also referred to his letter that in the email that this is the situation of the property and anything he wants to do. At that time, he could have called me back, or he could have to respond.
Okay, all right. I think we need to. We've heard the progress report. We're here to determine a compliance date. That's all we're doing today. So we've heard. I think I'm satisfied with the testimony to enter in a compliance date. So the chair will entertain a motion to enter a compliance date of 4/18 for this case.
May I ask something before?
Not right now. I have a motion on the floor. Is there a motion? A motion from Mrs. Himes. Is there a second?
Second
from Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. You have till next month to get with Mr. Jones and show him that you've done what needed to be done here.
Also, I have a motion for...
You don't have motions, sir. I'm sorry.
No,
you don't make motions. I'm sorry. The case is done.
You can get the inspector. You can talk to him.
If you had done that already, this wouldn't be...
I understand. I know.
Madam Chair, just so that we're clear, I think he may be trying to bring up that he had that motion for dismissal. I think it was addressed last meeting.
Compliance.
Right, and so that's already been addressed.
Well, we did address that. You're not in compliance, sir. We can't. We're not going to. Voted not to. Okay, and now we're done. And now we're done, sir.
This is intimidation. You see?
No, it's not. I'm asking you to leave.
I know. You're just part of a left wing conspiracy. Just not asking you.
Left wing? Whatever. All right, let's get on to our new cases. Okay. Let the record reflect that Mrs. Himes had to leave at 10:55. All right, new cases.
Have a nice day. Be careful.
All right. Case number 15, CEB 0318-27, Melnick Lazenby Investments at 828 North Grandview. Respondent present. Okay.
These next two properties are the same as your point that out. Different violations.
This is a multifamily, evidently, right? Okay, so this is one unit and the other is another unit? Or, well, we'll talk to Mr. Klieg. What? Okay, we'll wait. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, Madam Chair, members of the board, there's actually two properties we'll take them one at a time. The first one is, two cases for
right.
The
okay. We'll
same
do one
property.
At a time. I like doing one at a time anyway.
Right.
Okay.
The inspector is Tom Klieg, and Mr. Klieg, this is before you put determination of compliance or noncompliance. Mr. Klieg reports that this came to him as a tenant complaint. It's an occupied that the facility is occupied and that the property remains in noncompliance. He's asking for next cutoff for the property to be brought into compliance.
Okay. All right. So would you explain, Mr. Klieg, would you explain to us what the violation, failure to maintain interior, was?
That was a hole in the roof. It was a tenant occupied. He was evicted. Just a couple days ago, he still does not have no heat in the whole facility. The whole unit. It's a floor mounted unit. It's not 68 degrees throughout the whole house, and it just covers really the living room area, not the bedrooms or the bathrooms. So he's in the process of getting some more heat for the rest of the unit, but there's no more tenant in there right now. But the interior had a hole in the wall in the ceiling, and he fixed that. It's a leak.
Okay. All right. So this is the same building, but
same building, right?
Different units.
Different units.
What are we looking at right there with the
Before it?
No, not the foreign.
Oh, the.
Could you go back a picture?
Yeah, there was originally it was.
That. What is all that?
That they were putting exterior doors on. But I just wanted to show
garage doors?
No, interior for the house. The units, they thought it was the exterior unit doors, but they were for interior, so there was no permit needed for that one. I was going to combine the case. I just dropped that in there for the reason why I was out there. It was originally came in also as a complaint. There's no permits for...
Is this the way it looks right now?
The garage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is that the garage right there?
Yeah, those are
okay. Those are garages.
Yeah, four unit garage. Originally came in a couple years ago that there was a unit in the garage, which
uh-huh.
They did end up getting a permit
okay.
for, and
okay.
then they sold it.
So. Okay. This is a new owner?
Yeah, new owner.
Oh. Okay.
2016 ended 2016.
Okay. Yeah, I thought I remembered. All right. So all we're here for is compliance or non-compliance, and we haven't had compliance yet. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance and or respondent committed to compliance by the next cutoff date, mm-hmm. April 4th, 2018, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. House. There's a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right. The next item, number 16, CB03-18-28. Melnick Lazenby Investments, 828 Grandview.
Okay, and Madam Chair, I think one clarification I saw was just speaking with the inspector. As you indicated, there are two separate units. Unit 4 is the unit for number 15. Unit 2 is the unit for number 16.
Unit 4, and this is unit 2 now?
That's, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
The inspector again is Mr. Klieg, and this is for determination of compliance or noncompliance. In this circumstance, the property is where it's a rental property where they failed to obtain a rental license. However, the old aspect of the rental is that they've subdivided a room to a point where it has lacks the minimum room size to for minimum square footage required. So for the conversion, so for occupancy, so there's that problem as well. And it just at this point it's in non-compliance. Mr. Klieg is working with them with the instructions on what they have to do to come into compliance. I tend to Mr. Klieg for any facts or information that you may need.
I'm looking, Mr. Klieg, I'm looking at these pictures. Is that electric unit that I saw in one of those pictures? Is that the heat?
That was the heat. That was the portable heat that the tenant needed to do it. The second case is for no rental license. He did.
And the hole is the hole for
hole,
the other
right,
case,
right.
too. Okay, got it. Okay.
And this one right here, there's this advertisement that he's renting the property of two-bedroom
right.
apartments. And the property appraisal lists of that one bedroom and the square footage as well.
And what does he need to do to come into compliance?
Well, first of all, he did apply for a rental license.
Okay.
Myself and Officer Stenson went over a couple
okay.
of days ago. And I believe that he's going to have an issue with the zoning
okay.
on it. So.
Okay. All right. Well, that one's pretty clear. He's not in compliance yet. So the chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance. In order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration fine of up to $1,000 a day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. House. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Case number 17, CB03-18-29. I think this is Alan Beatty or Battle? Battle. Is that B-A-T-L-E?
It's B-A-T-L-L-E.
L-L-E. All right. Don't know how to pronounce that. Is Mr. Battle here? All right. Let's 824 Pinewood.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. The issue here is that the respondent needs a rental license and business tax receipt. They've moved forward with application. We're waiting to schedule the inspection. We ask that you give them until next cutoff to come into compliance. And Mr. Jones is the inspector, and I tend to Mr. Jones if you have any questions.
Anybody have any questions for Mr. John? Okay, chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in non-compliance and our respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, April 4th, 2018, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion? Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Thank you. Motion, Mr. Weatherall, second. Mr. Jones, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carry. Case 18 is in compliance. Case 19, CEB03-18-31, Coalition Against Hunger. Mr. Stenson, that's at 217 Arlington Avenue. All right, Mr. Stenson's case, compliance or non-compliance. Oh, excuse me. Would you like
compliance.
To be sworn in? Would you like to testify?
Yes. Yes.
Sir? Okay, well, come up and be sworn in. Sorry, I didn't know you were here.
Pete Glover.
Pete what?
Glover, G-L-O-V-E-R, 28 Circle Creek.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
And what is your relationship to the Coalition Against Hunger?
Let me give you a little background.
Yeah, well, just tell me what your relationship is.
None whatsoever. I'm currently the owner of the property with Charles Mecklem. We bought it at a foreclosure sale. Your records are not up to date. The foreclosure sale took place in January. A certificate of title was issued by the clerk of the circuit court.
So you own this property?
I do.
And, okay. All right, we'll go.
Wait a second. Have you been properly notified? The owner's no longer Coalition Against Hunger.
That's right.
Did you personally?
I personally own it with Charles Mecklem.
Okay.
In it.
Have they been noticed? You own it?
Well.
All right. Let okay.
If we go forward,
yeah.
Under the jurisdiction or not.
Right. Exactly. So let's hear from Mr. Jackson first, and then we'll give you a chance to.
And I have to look.
Well, I noticed.
We notified Coalition Against Hunger.
So the answer is no.
So what? But that's still that was who the owner was.
That still is the owner of record according to Volusia County Property Appraiser's Office as of
2/16/2018.
Okay. All right. It says the Coalition Against Hunger is the owner.
Do we have anything? Do we have a copy of the
title?
Yeah. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah. It's legal record. I think the problem is we just have to clerk of the record, clerk of the court.
Well, they take a while sometimes. I've noticed that.
They do.
Yeah.
And it still was.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm satisfied that this is the new owner. We haven't noticed him specifically, even though he's present. He hadn't been noticed
right.
as a legal notice. So,
right.
as Mr. Sino is pointing out, that would create potential issues of due process and jurisdictional issues.
So we're just going to drop the case. I mean,
we're not dropping the case.
Continue it. If he resolves it before then, of course, it's resolved. But
all right,
yeah.
The chair will entertain a motion to continue the case until the April 12, 2018 meeting.
I think the gentleman has something to say because there was some, if I remember correctly, I might be wrong. I think that there was some disagreement on ownership in the beginning.
Is this the first we've heard of this case?
No.
No, we've had it before.
I believe it is.
No,
it is.
We've had it before.
We have no jurisdiction until next month when you're noticed that there's something.
Right.
Or you're not coming before the board if it's something you can take care of.
We can take care of it.
Then you would get in touch with Mr. Stenson and tell him it's taken care of, and then this won't even come back.
All right. That'd be fine. Thank you very much.
Is that acceptable?
I'm sorry. I was talking with the inspector.
What we've done is continued the case until next month because we determined that we don't have jurisdiction. You don't have jurisdiction because we don't have the right owners notified. But if he comes into compliance in the meantime, then...
We'll withdraw the case.
You will withdraw the case.
No,
we're
not. Yeah,
no.
That's no, no.
If
he should come into compliance, we'll find him in compliance, or we'll withdraw. We'll make an agency decision.
So we don't need to hear anything right now.
Right.
Is that
yes.
It? Okay, because we don't have jurisdiction. So why would we hear something? Correct. Okay. All right.
An interesting point.
Yes.
It was the Attorney General's opinion that came out, where someone in the audience wanted to address the board.
Mm-hmm.
And the chairman of the board said no. And they complained about it. It's a public meeting. They want to be able to speak at a public meeting.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't let them do that. And the AG opinion says they're not entitled to speak. Either the witness of the city or their own witnesses or witnesses that responded. A citizen comes up here and wants to speak. The general can't just speak. And they ruled that was okay.
On the quasi-judicial proceeding.
Right.
I guess if someone wanted to speak during the new business or something else, but it can't be related to
a case. Like we have a situation where people come in here, and they're not called by the city, they're not called by the respondent, but they want to speak.
Well, we
you
don't.
Can them, you can let them if you want to, but you don't
have right. We can let them if we want
right.
to. If they
yeah.
have. Okay. Okay.
Okay, that's just what I point that out.
Okay. But at this point, we don't have. I mean, all right, any jurisdiction on the case.
No.
So. Okay.
That's different.
Right, okay. So, I'm not, all right.
No, we have an election.
All right. Let's see, what do we have now?
Election
of vice chairman. Mr. Weatherholtz said that he was withdrawing his name last time. Are you still withdrawing
correct.
Your name?
Mrs.
All right, and so then we had... Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know where you were.
We're done.
Election
of vice chairman.
Okay. I don't think y'all need me for that.
Okay, so then Mrs. Himes' name was in... we had put into nomination. So that's the name that's in nominations. Are there any other nominations from the board? All right, then I'm going to close the nominations for vice chair. And would someone make a motion to appoint? Well, no, appoint. I guess she's the only one in nomination, so is that what we're doing?
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
All in favor of appointing Mrs. Himes as vice chair, say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Miscellaneous business?
Got
none?
None.
We're adjourned.